This is a bonus episode where I share some of my experiences of our fertility journey from a man's perspective. Not only as a man that was diagnosed with male infertility, but also prior to that, for many years, the focus on my wife and how I supported her or didn't support her and how I experienced that as a couple, but from a man's perspective. I share this for two purposes. One is I hope that this helps you understand perhaps what your man is going through, because often we don't express it, because often we don't even know it ourselves. Secondly, I encourage the men to listen to this, and hopefully they're going to sense they're not alone on their journey. And I encourage any man to reach out, and I'll carve out time to speak to any man on their journey, no cost, just as a man supporting another man on this journey. So our story is that my wife was diagnosed with fertility problems when she was a teenager. So when we got married, we knew that having our own children may be a problem, maybe quite unlikely. And we thought we were okay with that. We thought we could foster, we could adopt. We thought there's plenty of children in the world that need love, we can give that love. And over the years, my wife started to manage her condition in a more holistic way. She was fed up with just taking more and more drugs and medication. She wanted to find a more holistic way to try and manage the conditions and the symptoms. We never believed she could get to the stage where she could have her own children. But she went on a journey, and it was quite a long journey over a period of 8 years, of really, I guess, looking after herself in a much more holistic way. We worked with a more natural gynecologist, and it got to a stage where she could have her own children. She had a full cycle back, and there's no reason why she couldn't get pregnant. Well, for the first time, having her own children became a possibility. And it's almost as if we can be kidding ourselves because we want to face the pain of not being able to have our own children. But suddenly, faced with the possibility of having children, we really recognised our deep, deep desire and our passion. We know nothing more we wanted in the world other than to have our own children. So we tried for a year or so, about a year. And as you know, as you go on this journey, you become quite experts when it comes to fertility. And of course, we knew what we were doing, and we knew the ins and outs of our cycle, etc., etc. And we could tell that there must be something else wrong. And at this point, I had my first test, and no one ever suggested I got a test up to this point. And we found out I was infertile, while my test results were disastrous across the board. In fact, the doctor asked me whether I've been exposed to dangerous levels of radiation, and I hadn't, as far as I'm aware. And it was a complete shock, because up to then, the focus had obviously been on my wife, and we just assumed that I would be okay. So the biggest thing for me at that point, the biggest challenge for me at that point, was up to then, I felt I'd been the strong one for my wife. I felt I need to be the strong one for my wife. I wanted to be one who had the hope that we were going to be okay, that we may have children one day. When she was upset, to be the one that was calm and strong and give her, I guess, the reassurance and the positivity and the encouragement I thought she needed and we needed to get through this, as you know, the emotional roller coaster that is infertility. And I think the biggest thing for me was I could look at her and know that she was just born to parent. And having me being the strong one for her and wanting to make things okay for her, suddenly I couldn't do that. And suddenly the tables are turned almost, and I was the problem. We labelled each other as the problem, but where I was wanted to be the strong one and the rock for her, suddenly I was the cause of the problem. Suddenly I was the thing getting in between her and her dream of having children, her dream of being a mother. And I felt, it felt quite sickening, the fact that she'd gone through this marathon of a roller coaster to get her full fertility back. Suddenly having children is a real possibility, and the excitement of that to be ripped away by me having fertility problems and me not being able to give her what I wanted and what she wanted. I guess part of that pain was subconsciously I was thinking I'll be happy if she was happy. All I wanted was her to be happy. And here I was, and I couldn't kind of make her happy. Looking back, one of the biggest things I learned on our journey was the whole area of emotions and connecting to my wife in a deeper way. I was totally shocked, kind of 8 years into marriage and 8 years into our fertility journey, for my wife to turn around and say to me she didn't feel connected to me, she didn't feel united on our journey. And I really thought that, if anything, this journey had brought us closer together. And I was really shocked for her to turn around and say that she didn't feel united on it. And I thought, well, I come to all the appointments, I'm quite hands-on, we talk about things. And she told me that she knew what I thought about things, but had no idea how I felt. I spent a lot of time in my head. She had no idea what was going on in my head most of the time, and no idea how I felt about things. Well, having got my kind of test results, it sent me into a kind of a bit of a spiral in life, in a way, because I wasn't aware that subconsciously I'd been living life, I'll be happy when, or I'll be happy when I got my degree, I'll be happy when I got a good job, I'll be happy when I get married, and now I'll be happy when we have children. And I thought having children would be kind of a sign of a new season for us, having let all these struggles go and we can finally be happy. And that clearly wasn't happening. And it sent me into a whole kind of spiral and inward kind of, I guess, some inward reflection. And I wasn't aware of any kind of personal development or coaching or anything like that back then. And I began to recognize how I did live in my head. I began to recognize and acknowledge that. And my wife said she felt angry, and she expressed this anger about life, about the situation. I would say I was angry, but I didn't really feel angry. I was quite disconnected to my emotions. And I began to be aware that, for me, emotions were these things that were in this bin, and there's a lid on it, and there's a brick on the lid, because I didn't want to go there for all sorts of reasons I wasn't consciously aware of, but probably due to childhood things. It wasn't particularly traumatic, but there were some painful things that, for me, my survival mechanism was to stay in my head and just to be a thinker, because you can't think and feel at the same time. So if I keep a very busy mind, no one can hurt me emotionally. It keeps the most emotions at bay, and I feel less vulnerable because I'm kind of safe in my head like a snail in its shell. I guess one of the biggest things I kind of learned through that was the importance of connecting to my wife through emotions, to learn how to express my emotions, to learn how I share how I felt about things, not just what I thought, but how I felt, but also to hear her emotions, to hear beyond what she was saying. And it's so easy for me to jump in and try again fix things, be the strong one and be the problem solver. Like a lot of men, we like to be problem solvers. I thought if she was sharing a problem, she wanted a solution. And the biggest thing I learned was to realize actually that's not what she wanted. She just wanted to be heard. She wanted to be heard. The one thing I know now that I wish I knew then was the difference in kind of masculine and feminine energy. When my wife was expressing an emotion, and it could be quite a strong emotion, I had a number of reactions to that. I might be almost scared of it because not knowing what to do with it. Because in the past, I've tried to help and make her feel better, and it almost made it worse. But I can really see now, back then, it made it worse because I wasn't really hearing what she was saying. I was trying to make her feel better, trying to fix the problem, and she felt misunderstood. She almost felt belittled that I thought she couldn't solve the problem herself, but she felt angry and frustrated that she didn't feel heard. And I can really understand now that women just want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be felt. They want to be held in that space. For whatever the emotion is for them to express, they almost want a masculine energy to hold that space without judgment, without criticism, without trying to change it, without thinking making her feel that she's wrong for feeling it, or bad for feeling it, or it's unnecessary, just so she can express that emotion in a safe place. And for a man, a masculine energy to hold that space. Now, we all have masculine and feminine energy within us, and the roles can reverse at times. But for me, it's recognizing that when her feminine energy was expressed, I could just hold that space for it, because I wasn't good at doing that back then. And I've really learned that actually I don't need to be scared of that emotion. I don't need to change it. I don't need to do anything with it. I just need to understand the feeling behind it. I just need to understand her world in that moment. Whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, it's completely irrelevant. A very minor example is driving can often be a kind of a source of disagreement in a couple. And my wife and I would be driving, or I'll be driving, and my wife might say, "Oh, you're driving too fast," or "You're driving too close to the car in front." Now, I'm not a boy racer. I don't think I drive particularly fast. I generally thought we were very safe. And I'd dismiss her comment, or actually I'd hear her comment as criticism. I think she's criticizing my driving, and I'd get defensive. I'd get humpy and defensive, and it would be less than loving exchange. And as we begin to understand how to communicate with each other in a far more effective way, she started to express her feelings. Rather than judging my driving, she'd say, "I feel scared." Now, she's quicker on the take up than me, and my initial response to that was to judge the feeling as unnecessary, because there's no reason to feel scared. Of course, that led to still less than loving exchange. I judged her feeling as unnecessary. Women want to be seen, felt, heard for who they are in that moment without judgment. And I began to realize, someone I love is feeling scared. Do I want her to feel scared? No, I don't. As soon as I recognized the emotion and got out of my head and my model of the world and my judgment and really understood what's going on for her, I just automatically slowed down. It was never an issue. And that's kind of a quite a minor example, but just to show how my relationship with the feminine energy, the emotion, changed. And don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. I sometimes forget and slip back into problem solving, but I'm far more aware. I can backtrack and rechange my course. And I know if I'm making it worse, it's me that's making it worse, because I'm not holding that space for her that she's asking me to. So the biggest thing I learned, and I wish I knew then, was not to be scared of my wife's energy, my emotion, and not trying to fix it, not trying to change it, just hold a space for it and understand it and empathize. And it soon just moves on. Another thing I learned on our journey, which we almost kind of stumbled across, and we always say, if we knew then what we know now, it would not have been a 10-year journey. And when I hit my low point and thinking, oh, where does happiness come from? I'd gone through a 4-month program trying to improve my fertility, doing all sorts of things I firmly believe can make a difference to male fertility. Lifestyle, diet, acupuncture, herbs, you know, keeping your phone out of your pocket, baggy pants, you know, you name it, I did it. But actually, after the 4 months, my test results got slightly worse. The doctors didn't believe it would get any worse. And at that point, I kind of gave up trying, thinking, okay, there's nothing I can do about this. We're in the hands of the clinic. And we're exploring ICSI as an option. And that's when I began to recognize and really accept where I was in life, that actually I wasn't happy. I had a great job, well-paid job, lovely career. I was good at it, but it wasn't really me. I was like a square peg in a round hole, because I was a people pleaser. I grew up and became a people pleaser. Yes, man. And all my life I've been making sure people almost like me or think good of me. And I lost a sense to who I was, what I really wanted to do in my life. People say, well, if you won the lottery, what would you do? I had no idea. So I was committed to going on a journey to find out who I really was, what I really wanted to do in my life. I was fearful of getting to my deathbed and having regrets. And it's interesting, going on that journey of really following my soul and and exploring what it means to be me. I resigned from my job. I did all sorts of experiments of finding out what it means to play again and follow my soul. Choose things because I want to do them. Say no to things that I don't really want to be doing. And through that whole process, I learned that I could be happy. I'm allowed to be happy. I deserve to be happy. And I can create a life that's inspiring and fulfilling that may or may not involve children. So for me, having children shifted from being a need, I need children to be happy, to actually almost an option. I still wanted to have children. We still explored it. But it shifted from being a need to a desire. Well, lo and behold, my wife was pregnant naturally within 4 months. And we weren't even kind of consciously trying, so there was no point. There's a 1 in a billion chance, we're told, it might happen naturally. So I'm really thankful. Look, I can look back and really see how our journey helped me to wake up to who I really was, to go on that journey, to force me to go on that journey, find out who I really was. And it forced me to explore coaching and everything else. And I got myself a coach, and that introduced me to kind of coaching and personal development. And I went to what I call my Project You. And lo and behold, Project Baby took care of itself. So I'm really thankful that it aligned me to who I really was. I really believe through that process, what I learned through that process. I like to think I'm a better parent now than I would have been having got pregnant without that kind of journey, without that understanding who I was more. So for me, one of the things I'm really thankful for in our journey almost is me waking up, not just to the whole area of emotions and interacting with my wife in a new way, but just being free to be me and knowing I can create more of the life that really inspires me. I think if I had to give one bit of advice to a man experiencing infertility, either male fertility or female fertility with his partner, would be to really learn to connect with their partner in that deeper way, to really understand what they're communicating beyond the words, to really understand what they're feeling about things, not what they think, what they feel. To learn to communicate for understanding, to let go of our judgments, our fears and evaluations of situations and what people are saying and thinking, and just listen to understand them. Get out of our model of the world, our thinking, and get into their model of the world to really understand what our partner's feeling. And then demonstrate that feeling, because it was so quick to say, yeah, I understand. We are not in a position to say that. We can't say we understand. Only they can say, you know, we understand when we demonstrate we understand. To play back their feelings, find situations where we felt the same thing, to really get in their heads and understand how they're feeling in that moment, or what is the feeling they're trying to communicate, so they feel understood. So they really feel understood. And the flip side of that is to really learn how to share our emotions so they understand how we feel. For me, it's that emotional understanding. Understanding how each other feel emotionally creates a unity, creates an understanding. That's, for me, it's the glue that keeps people together. And this journey can put the strain on the best of relationships. So for me, the one bit of advice is, if you feel like me, you're trying to be the strong one, or you have this kind of distant relationship with emotions, or not sure what to do with your partner's emotions, is to let go of your thinking about what they're feeling. Let go of how you think you should be responding. And just ask them, what is it you want me to hear in this? Seek to understand them. Seek to feel connected by understanding how each other feeling about the situation. And that can sound big and scary, and it takes hours, but actually when we have conscious communication, it doesn't have to take a long time. It takes a long time when it's messy, when it's difficult, and we're not quite on the same wavelength. When our partner doesn't feel understood, they get more frustrated. But if you can demonstrate you're really seeking to understand them, it doesn't have to take a long time. Men want to seek connection and closeness and unity through physical touch, through sex, through the kind of physical side of intimacy. Female energy wants the emotional connection. Focus on that emotional connection. I think generally men are not particularly good at that, and we have to learn to do that. And if anyone out there wants to get in touch, any men out there wants to get in touch, I'm happy to have a conversation, see if I can help you do that. No obligation, just as a man to man is being through this. So that'd be my one bit of advice, is seek to understand your partner emotionally.